Dork.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. Brian Rice, Joel Silverberg, myself, Eric Ainge. Got creative there with the naming of the show, and we are live here at Litton's, thanks to Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. Check out Rusty Wallace Kia's deal right here. No payments until 2022. What does that mean for you? You go in, you trade your car in, you walk around the lot, you find the one you want, you get it. It comes with a no-charge 200,000-mile warranty on the new Kias, and you don't have to make a payment. Doesn't mean they just postpone them. It means you don't have any payments. They pay them for you until 2022. Big selection at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville.
Now, we, for our Tri-Cities and for anybody just joining us, why did Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville put us at Litton's today? Well, it's simple. Jake from Rusty Wallace Kia, Chad from Rusty Wallace Honda, frequently go to Litton's on Fridays. I've seen them there. When I took my mom, we saw them, and she met them, and she said, well, now I now understand a lot more about them. They want to get to lunch a little early today, so they're going to come and do their 11 o'clock segment as usual with us live at Litton's, and then they're going to have some lunch, and Eric's going to have some lunch, and I'm going to wish desperately I was there, so I hate that social distancing rules keep us apart, Eric, but should
one
be a
day,
lot of fun.
One day we'll be back out together.
As Mariah Carey
just
said.
Just a regular Bonnie and Clyde.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that. Coming up, we'll take a look at a couple of things that have happened around the national champions. They're losing a bunch of players. They're losing a bunch of coaches. Probably won't matter. We'll preview Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend at Thompson Bowling Arena. Assuming they play, if Vandy gets on the bus today, we should be good to go. So we'll be on bus watch for them. We'll, of course, be on watch for all of what could come from Tennessee as far as some certainty on the football program. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be Monday. The sooner the better, no matter what the outcome is. And, of course, we will take a look at the NFL playoffs as they roll on this weekend.
I got a question for you.
All right.
You're our resident PR guy. Mm-hmm. What should or could have Tennessee done better in this time? We just had Woody or maybe it was Hitch saying the sound of silence and the unknown and the uncertainty. Is there anything that they could have done or should have done throughout this process that would help? This ultimately, I know you need to make the announcement of what the deal is. I get all that, but the process.
This is going to be a very unpopular answer, but I'm not sure there's anything different they could have done. Because you have to let this investigation play out. And you cannot constantly update an ongoing investigation that's not out of your hands, but it's kind of out of your hands. I don't think it's good form to constantly update when you don't have an update. You know, that just, it doesn't help you. There's nothing about it that helps you. So, is this uncertainty bad? Sure is. Would making a statement once a week saying our investigation's still ongoing made it any better? No, it wouldn't have. It would have put it back in the top burner of the news. When Tennessee announced that they had hired outside counsel, they hired the outside counsel back in November. But they were asked for a records request on it. They fulfilled it in part with the statement saying, yeah, we hired these guys. That made news when it wasn't something that had just happened, but it was something that was new to all of us. So I don't know that they could have done much differently here, because until you know something, you really can't say anything. You know, do you want UT to come out and say what specifically they're investigating? Well, the NCAA is not going to look well on that. The NCAA, when if you're going to self-report something to the NCAA, they want a report first. They don't want to read it in the New Sentinel or GoVols 24/7 or VolQuest or anywhere. So I think you say nothing until you know something. That's if that's not a strategy that's taught in PR classes, it should be. Say nothing until you know something. You know, other than saying, we have an ongoing investigation, and we will be happy to update our fans and our stakeholders as soon as we know something definitive. But until then, you know, what are we going to say? Every day, well, still going. It unfortunately leaves a lot of people flapping in the breeze. It leaves people who are on that coaching staff whose livelihoods are on the line. I'm not talking the people who make six figures. I'm talking about every other person that works in the football office. I'm talking about every other person that works in the recruiting office. It, of course, leaves us as fans in the dark and feeling anxious about it. It leaves media members time to speculate. Some of us speculate more reasonably than others. But you open yourself up for speculation when there's uncertainty. But again, I think they were doing this as quickly as they could, but as completely as they could. You don't want to leave something hanging that the NCAA goes, well, you found all this and you admitted to it, but hey, you should have found this too, and we're going to hammer you for it. So I really, looking back, don't think there's much Tennessee could have done differently, unless you, and I think Tennessee clearly hadn't, but unless you decide that just the fact that you're going to have to do an investigation is a step too far on Jeremy Pruitt, then you could have cut bait back after the Texas A&M game and hired a new head coach and been well on your way. But that's not what they wanted to do. That's not the evaluation that they had of his total body of work at Tennessee. And so that's why you didn't see that move made then.
Do you think when we finally get to the point of getting an announcement that it will be done and over? I mean, obviously, it depends on the repercussions. But, like, will we find out when we get the results of the investigation, will we simultaneously find out if Pruitt is being retained?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
all the questions should get answered.
When they're ready to say something, we will know whether Jeremy Pruitt will be on the sideline when Tennessee starts spring practice in a month and a half, mid-March.
Do you know if Florida, when they just went through their recruiting debacle and all that stuff and self-reported all those things and penalties and stuff like that, was there an investigation into that by like a private firm like this?
I believe that they hired outside counsel. It was not clear in the initial release, and I haven't followed up on it because it's Florida.
None of it was very bad.
No, they went through all of this without it being public knowledge. So, you know, nobody in their office, in their football office, leaked that there was an investigation going on, so nobody knew to ask, you know, for a statement. Nobody knew to ask. So there's some positivity in doing it that way because you don't have all this speculation that we're talking about. You know, it's not wrong for anybody to report what they hear when there is an investigation. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we do. If there is news and we hide the fact that we know there is news or there's something going on, then you're not media, you're propagandists. But at the same time, a lot of schools do a lot of investigations that nobody knows is happening until you have some results. Some of them result in something big. Some of them result in nothing. You know, I mentioned when I was at UT, I was interviewed a couple of times when you're doing investigations into allegations, and it turned out that neither of the things that they were investigating at the time were true. And so, nope, the fact that there was an investigation never even came out because what was being investigated wasn't true. But they'd gotten a tip, and they were obligated to follow up on it, and nothing happened. So Florida goes through their whole process. Nobody in the media knows anything's happening. And then you kind of drop, well, here's what we did. Here's the penalties we're serving. Dan Mullen has a show cause, but since he's our coach, it doesn't really matter, you know, on. And it could turn out, and I think it's likely to turn out, that what Florida's dealing with is more serious than what Tennessee was dealing with. but they didn't go through the month and a half of uncertainty because nobody knew about it. And that's the issue that I would have if I'm working in the athletic department today, is that there were people somewhere in that building that were willing to reveal a private investigation to media members and cause the uncertainty for a month and a half that we're experiencing. You know, and again, that's nothing against people that reported it. You have to report what sources tell you, particularly when you corroborate them with an additional source. My issue is that loose lips sink ships, and you helped create a month and a half of uncertainty by leaking that an investigation was going on that may or may not have produced anything. Back when it was leaked, it was not clear that it was going to produce anything. And now it is likely to produce something. But it created an unnecessary month and a half of uncertainty that didn't need to happen. And that's where I think you have a culture problem with some people that work for you.
Makes sense.
So it's a long-winded explanation, but it's kind of where we are. 656-9900, if you want to join us. We'll talk a little bit about some changes down to our neighbors in Tuscaloosa next as the Eric Haines Show returns from Litton's Restaurant. Thanks to Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville, on the Eric Haines Show. No surprise there after the story yesterday. That should be interesting. Also interesting with people going to the NFL, Mac Jones, three other Alabama players all declare for the draft. And that is going to be tough for them. It could also make the first round of the NFL draft have a very crimson tone. You have Mac Jones, Jalen Waddle, Christian Barmore, and Patrick Surtain all leaving early to turn pro. They join seniors Najee Harris and Devonta Smith. Oh, only two finalists for the Heisman trophies. That means there are a total of six first-round projections for Alabama players this year.
Yeah, Jalen Waddle, before the season started and early in the season, was by far, and it wasn't really close, the 1A option and the most highly noticed, publicized wide receiver in that class. At Alabama. Obviously, when he went down, Devontae Smith ended up winning a Heisman. But if Waddle can get the gimp out of his giddy-up and go run a 40 like he can run a 40 straight ahead, no cutting, he should be able to by the time that happens. He'll be a first-round draft pick because he'll run a 4.3 something. It'll definitely be a 4.3 something. That's pretty incredible. You know what? Think of how fast Kyle Trask and Mac Jones' life and football careers turned for the significantly better. From Mac Jones coming in against Tennessee in 2019 when Tua gets hurt and playing terrible. I mean, he was bad. Remember, we were like, he's not good. And he ended up finishing the year strong, and then he was a Heisman Trophy candidate here towards the end of the year and is a first or second round draft pick.
Yeah.
Kyle Trask went from having never started a game in 2019 since JV football in high school to starting against Tennessee, playing lights out, and it's been all uphill ever since for him. And he's going to be a first or second round draft pick. It's just, that's incredible. Those two guys, if there's ever players that are sitting there saying, I know I'm good enough to play, but I'm not the starter here, and they want to bail and run at the first sign of adversity, look to Kyle Trask and Mac Jones. They were patient, they fought, they worked, they got their chance, and when they got their chance, they never looked back. That's some good insight for young quarterbacks in high school or college. Just because you don't have the job today doesn't mean it's not going to be your job.
Yeah. It's and sticking with Alabama for a second, losing all that talent, they're also losing their defensive coordinator, Pete Golding. He's going to join, according to reports out of Austin, former Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian on the staff at Texas, with all these losses of players and coaches, is this going to be finally the year they take a step back? I almost got through that with a straight face.
Well, I mean, they're going to take a step back, 100%. But their step back still has college football playoff capabilities and winning the SEC capabilities. Their step back, you know, from an undefeated year in national champions, yeah, they're not going to do that again. They'll lose to somebody. But they'll lose to somebody, probably not multiple people.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. You know, it's like you get some of these coaches that, you know, like when D'Antonio was at Michigan State back in the day, you know, every 3 to 4 years they'd cycle up and have their year or two. And then they'd go back to being 5-7, 7-5, 6-6, and then up, 10-2, 11-1. And they would cycle like that. Patterson did it at TCU forever. Gundy, to an extent, does it. His step back usually isn't too terrible. It's not as bad usually, but he gets those cycles. What Alabama does is they take a step back, meaning they may not be the front runner to win the college football playoff next year, but they will be competing for the division and the conference and a spot all year long.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Even with losing all these players, even with losing, I mean, look at the year before. Here's a good example. We just don't know their names yet. Henry Ruggs and Judy leave Bama, their first-round draft picks at wide receiver, two of them. And you go, man, how are they going to be losing all that? And then you come back the next year, and they have two more first-round draft pick wide receivers.
And one of them won the Heisman Trophy.
And one of them won the Heisman Trophy and had the best season ever for a wide receiver. So next year, we may not know which ones it's going to be, but they will have a receiver or two that looks maybe not the same but very similar when all the balls start getting thrown their way. You know, Devontae Smith had all those opportunities to make all those amazing catches. Why? Because the ball was thrown to him every third play.
Yeah.
It'll just happen again. If that happens again, if they go a third straight year having two first-round draft picks at receiver, I don't even think there's ever been a school that's done it back-to-back years.
No. This is going to be...
There's no way that's happened. Records.
This class is definitely going to set some records.
In one receiver room, at any given time, they will have had 4 to 6 first-round draft pick wide receivers in one college meeting room.
It's incredible.
It's stupid. I hate it.
If it wasn't your biggest rival, it would be fun to watch because it would just be because of how impressive it is. But it's Alabama.
It's like Oklahoma with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Baker, Kyler, Jalen. Now they have Spencer, who in another year or two, I think will be. I would be hard pressed to think that he will graduate or leave for the NFL, having not been at least a Heisman finalist. Which would mean they've had 4 Heisman finalist quarterbacks in like a 6-year span. That's never happened either. No. Yeah.
But they don't have the team success to go along with it. That's what.
Not to that extent.
That's what's frustrating about watching Alabama is how successful they are and how successful they've been at our expense, to be frank.
I just want Tennessee to get back. We don't need to have anything like that. We don't need to do anything. You know what I want? You know what I wish? I'm going to add it to my prayer list.
Okay.
I want us to beat Florida and Georgia in the same season again. The last time it had happened before 2016 was when I was in school as a freshman. It does not happen here. It's happened in 04, and it's happened in 2016, the Hail Mary and the 38 unanswered on the Gators. Get me back to a life where we are able to beat those teams in the same year.
That would be it would be very nice.
I would even take losing to a South Carolina if it meant we got to beat those two teams in one calendar year.
Well, don't say that, because that's exactly what happened in 2016.
That's why we can't have nice things.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Really, we is. Did it. We're really doing it, huh, Hair? Nope.
We're sure not. There's good news from UT coming up on the other side. I'll give you some good news from UT coming up next. 656-9900 if you want to join us as the Eric Ains Show continues.
Welcome back into the Eric Ains Show, live from Litton's, right here down in Fountain City. Can't miss it. You already know where it is. And by the way, they're celebrating what year in their anniversary? 41st anniversary of Litton's this week. Great time to get over here. And again, our appearance made possible by Rusty Wallace Kia, where you can go there and get a new Kia. All models, makes, they got them all there. No payments on that new Kia until 2022. It's not just postponing them. They make the payments for you. And, of course, it comes with that no-charge 200,000-mile warranty. And, like I said, big selection of new and used cars, I-75 Callahan Drive.
Absolutely. We have good news from Tennessee, Eric.
I'm bracing myself. It usually comes with something else. If you're telling me there's good news, it usually is followed by but.
There is some good. There is some bad news for UNIT. Tennessee has a softball schedule that's been announced. It means there'll be a few days that you'll be without me. But we've been doing the show apart anyway, so wherever I do the show from is helpful. But Tennessee's softball schedule will kick off with a tournament at Coastal Carolina, February 12th through the 14th. And then they will open up SEC play Friday, March 12th at Lee Stadium against LSU. They will also feature a non-conference series with Texas A&M at Texas A&M, as well as a home tournament and some fun midweek games. There'll be a lot of excitement at Lee Stadium coming up this spring. But it's been a long road since last March 12th when we stood at the airport and were told the season was over. So,
has there been a sport that had it harder than the spring sports, like baseball and softball, with COVID and all the change? I think that might be the, like, not getting to play March Madness for basketball last year was definitely tough.
Yeah.
The changes to football were hard, but you got to do it. You got to play.
Yeah.
You guys just were ready to get on the airplane and then couldn't get on the airplane and couldn't ever play and practice and literally just had to say, well, I guess we'll just try it again next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year. It was a tough team meeting to sit in, I'll tell you that. But there's a schedule and ready to play, and everything is on pace for that to happen coming up starting on February 12th. And we are currently scheduled to have every game once again broadcast on the Tennessee Athletics app, with many of them once basketball season starts to taper off here on the Sports Animal as well. So looking forward to that as well. And I'm told a baseball schedule is imminent. So
nice.
Trying to get back to some normalcy. I'm looking forward to that. Very.
All right, where's my
much.
Butt?
I didn't have one. The butt is
okay.
When we have a couple of those early season tournaments, you won't have me on a Friday. So, that's all.
Was that supposed to make me sad?
Depends on the day.
That's all right. I'll go out on remote. I'll go hang out with Chad or Jake or come to Litton's.
Yeah.
You don't have to twist my arm.
Nope. So it'll be good, but glad to see some sense of normalcy back with UT with that schedule being announced this morning. So looking forward
if we're not careful, there'll be a group text between me and you and Tom and Jake and Chad, and I'll be like, hey, guys, so, you know, don't care where we do the show from, but what's up with that Litton's?
And, of course, you'll do it when I'm gone. Of course, you can't come out there anyway, so, yeah. It's all right. I won't hold it against you. But definitely looking forward to softball. And it's appropriate that we are at Litton's when the softball schedule is announced, because Kelly and everybody are huge supporters of all Tennessee sports, but especially Lady Vol softball. So
Listen, Brian, I know you want to be here with the boys at Litton's. Yep. I know that. But Mick Jagger said it. You can't always get what you want, Brian.
That's right. That's right. Nick Saban definitely didn't want – we were talking about Alabama a moment ago. He definitely didn't want Steve Sarkisian to take his assistant coaches when he left. But he's done just that, taking Pete Golding reportedly to join his staff, took his offensive line coach, Kyle Flood, to be his offensive coordinator. If you're Nick Saban, how mad are you at this series of events that has played out?
Well, we talked about that yesterday.
A little bit.
When Saban and Belichick in their documentary, when coaches leave those two dynasties, they're happy for them, but it's an understanding that they're not supposed to take or poach, I believe the word was used, poach the coaching staff, because that's just not what you do. I'll say this, when Pruitt left Bama, when Kirby Smart left Bama, if I remember correctly, it wasn't but a guy or two that came with him. When Jeremy Pruitt left, it wasn't but a guy or two, an analyst, an assistant to the assistant coach that he left with. Sark, after taking all these guys from Bama, if he just blows up Texas and he's terrible, you know who's never hiring him back? Nick Saban. If Pruitt got fired today, Nick Saban, with an open D.C. spot, would absolutely call Jeremy Pruitt and say, come on back and be the D.C. again here. If they have an offensive coordinator vacancy 3 years from now and Sark's on the hot seat and he gets fired, there's no way Nick Saban is calling him to come back and be the O.C.
Yeah.
Those guys are petty. I feel like if you're that level of coach – you care about everything, and it's why you're so great. Every detail, every dot, every I, cross every T. I mean, literally everything matters to you if you're Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. But that also means anything they feel like they've been wronged on, those guys never forget that. Oh, look at Coach Majors, may he rest in peace, and Coach Fulmer. When you're that level of a coach, everything matters, and you never forget it. Yeah. There's no way Saban would hire Sark back.
Yeah. No. You just – and you don't ever want to not be happy for your guys and give some guys an opportunity to be – to develop their coaching career. But, I mean, Kyle Flood's been a head coach. He doesn't need to be an OC to take the next step in his coaching career. He's going to try to get that reclamation. Pete Golding's making a lateral move. That would be what would make me mad if I was Nick Saban, is a coach that I've brought in and nurtured and stuck by the way, after there was a lot of criticism of him last year. You stuck by him, and then the first chance he gets, he's taking the same job somewhere else. That, you know, I don't want to defend Nick Saban, certainly, but that would bother me if I was Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brian Rice, noted Nick Saban defender now.
I always knew you loved the Tide.
Ugh, don't even joke about that.
I didn't even like saying that. I'm sorry. I didn't even like saying that.
Gotta. You know, we're two of the people that won't even, like, ironically say that RT phrase.
No, it bothers me even when you or I say, when we're talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide and how they're rolling this year. If we just if we even say, you know, they're rolling on Notre Dame here early, like when I can't even say that.
You know, it sends a little shudder up the spine.
You know that pre-barf? Mm-hmm. Like you get the little in the every time you look at Jake, you know, like that pre-barf and it's in the bottom of your throat and it's like the acidic type pre-throw up. That's what I get every time I use the word roll. And or, this is a separate sentence, tied, and in any way together or any clever way of saying it. About need a new microphone.
Yep. So, on that note, we're going to go to break now. 656-9900.
I mean, not good.
Join us. When we come back, your old OC, David Cutcliffe, has made some changes at Duke. Want to get your thoughts on those next. So we return to Litton's thanks to Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville on the Eric Gaines Show. It had been reported that there is a lot of defense. His family is concerned with the uncertainty around the staff and its future, whether this is the best place for him, if that is the case.
Oh, that's a but.
Yeah. And this
that is for sure a but.
According to reports, the reasons he is potentially not going to return are the uncertainty around Jeremy Pruitt and wanting to play for this staff and also have some certainty going into what is a year of his career that could make him a lot of money at the next level.
Well, it's not just Pruitt. I mean, his position coach and the head coach are the two that are, from everything we can tell, that are the most involved in whatever the investigation is.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? I remember when we got him, if I remember correctly, Niedermeyer was the main one that got him. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot
the main one on a lot of guys that are on this roster.
Yeah. And I remember it was I think he has a girlfriend. I don't know if she moved here, if she's still at home or what. But there was it was really hard. Like, the biggest recruitment for him was distance from friends and family.
Yeah.
And having been someone who has done that, once you get used to it and you know that, you know, you're taken care of and people are in your corner and you play and play at a high level, and all that stuff kind of goes out the window. But I also was lucky enough to have grandparents and parents that could fly here on Friday night red eye flights after work and get here in time for kickoff. So, I mean, I got to see my family almost every week. I don't know what his situation is. That would be a hard one, and that's definitely one where they should, if they're allowed to, they should get two private jets and fly out to California and try to convince him to come back. If we lose Wanya Morris and Henry To'oto'o in a week, you're rapidly approaching my tune changing.
So
significantly.
Pruitt, defensive coordinator Derek Ansley, Kevin Simon, as well as Kevin Steele, are all going out there. Simon's connection is he is a De La Salle alum where To'oto'o played, and was a key factor in Tennessee selecting the Vols again, according to VolQuest.
Yeah, with, for sure was. Price.
So I think that this tells you a couple things, and you can tell me if I'm reading too much into this. I think if Jeremy Pruitt's been allowed to take the UT plane, two assistant coaches and a player development assistant across the country, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be your football coach next year. And I think it also tells you that Kevin Steele is certainly going to be your linebackers coach. And I think it also tells you the fact that Brian Niedermeyer's not on that flight.
Yep.
Tells you something about his future as well.
Yeah, that seems to be my takeaway from it as well. If the main guy that recruited him here and the other guy that recruited him here and then an assistant who played at the high school he went to and came here to play the same position he did, who I know he has a good relationship with, if all these guys are going and Niedermeyer isn't, that says a lot.
I think it's Henry T. Here's your new linebackers coach. Look at all the guys he's put in the league. It's going to be okay. Come back to Tennessee.
I don't know how you can form any other opinion than that.
And that's, I mean, frankly, that's what I expected. I did not expect either of the two assistant coaches that have expiring deals to return next year. We'll see if that changes with T. Martin. He's a guy who's typically at schools for 2 or 3 years and then moves on to his next stop. We'll see what happens with that. He hasn't been offered a new contract at this point. I don't know that he will. But with Niedermeyer, with this investigation, you would have to retain him. You would have to choose to give someone who you just spent a month and a half investigating recruiting violations related to a new contract. And I've said all along I thought that would be a hard sell, and it indeed in my mind is. So. But this seems to indicate that list of characters, if accurate, and I have no reason to doubt the information that Austin and Brent Hubbs bring to that report on VolQuest, that, by the way, is up and free for everybody to read, you can read those tea leaves without it being too much of a reach, in my opinion.
Yeah, because if the main guy that Pruitt, it wasn't Pruitt, it wasn't Simon, the main guy that got Henry T here was Brian Niedermeyer. So you would think the main guy in convincing him to stay would be that same person.
Yeah.
And if that person isn't even allowed to go, that it is for a reason. What that reason is, we'll find out, but it's definitely for a reason.
Yeah. So that's happening, and we'll see if there's any sort of announcements from Tennessee later today on the investigation or anything like that, or if we just have to read the tea leaves and leave it at that. So we will find that out as we go along. Your former offensive coordinator David Cutcliffe is going to stay at Duke, but he is going to relinquish play calling duties to someone else. He's called plays his entire tenure with the Blue Devils.
He had a brief stint where he didn't when it was Kurt Roper, but he was still involved and still called them. But I mean, it's not like Roper called every play and Cut never chimed in.
Right.
It's David Cutcliffe, you know. I mean, so he it could have been. I mean, I would imagine it's like when Dabo is, quote, helping with the offense, he's more giving ideas and types of things to do. Every head coach does that to an extent. It's very rare that a head coach just like overtake. Like Nick Saban gives opinions and tells when to blitz and when not to blitz. Doesn't necessarily call the blitz.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. But Cuts, I mean, he's been around a long time.
It's an interesting change to make, but they have not had success in the last couple of years, and I was wondering, you know, at what point he wants to continue coaching or how long he wants to continue coaching. And I think this is a good way for him to try to take some of those day-to-day stresses off of him and try to focus on building that program up a little bit. Because, I mean, at his age, he's not going to coach there forever, so how do you want to leave it? How do you want to develop it? And I think that's going to be on his mind as he starts with this process.
I'm sure it'll be fine, and I'm sure he'll still step in and have plenty of opinions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll for sure have a lot of input on the game plan throughout the week.
Yeah.
Even if he's not actually calling him on Saturday.
Yeah. So those little changes there along the line in the VFL. Family, welcome back. We have a final hour of the Eric Ain Show live from Litton's. Thanks to our friends at Rusty Wallace Kia. Jake from Rusty Wallace Kia, Chad from Rusty Wallace Honda will join us coming up. We will pick the NFL games this weekend. We will also select our favorite from the menu there. That's coming up as the Eric Ain Show continues next.